Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We are blessed today to have this man, Rick Green, on this broadcast. America's Constitution coach. Coach.
Close enough.
Well, I can coach on the coast if we need to. Coast to coast. That's what we should. Coast to coast. Yeah.
He's an attorney at law and very educated man and a patriot. And, well, he and I are a whole lot alike. There's only three colors to me, red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I like that.
Amen.
Yeah.
My pickup's white. Gloria's car is blue. And my airplanes are red, white, and blue. Why not? Anyway, Father, we thank you today, and we give you praise and honor for this great nation, the greatest nation ever on the face of the earth. And we praise you for it because it belongs to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's nowhere else you could possibly turn. But before we do that, listen to this. My wife and I have been listening to Brother Copeland since his BVOV radio broadcast in the late 1970s. We can even remember the song that introduced the broadcast. We've been partners ever since. He and Miss Gloria taught us the Bible and how to see who God really is. Brother Copeland was there when very few churches in our area were teaching faith. He introduced us to other wonderful teachers through the conventions as well. We can thank him and Miss Gloria enough. We can't thank him and Miss Gloria enough for clearing up a lot of our religious traditions and helping us to be victorious in every area of our lives. JT from Michigan. Thank you, JT. Praise God forevermore. Leviticus 25. Verse 9, then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout your land. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout the land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee to you. And you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. That's the scripture on the Liberty Bell. And class, I will remind you, they rang it until they broke it. Amen. Praise God. I am fiercely patriotic. My dad was fiercely patriotic. And you mentioned your dad, Rick, and about his patriotism and so forth. Let's talk about him for a minute.
Yeah, I was raised in a family that you didn't just wave the flag. You had to understand why the flag was worthy of being waved. You know, I mean, Dad instilled that in us from the beginning. My mom taught Zig Ziglar's "I Can" because I'm an American, as I was a kid growing up, you know. And, I mean, we've missed that over the last generation, teaching the young people to love their country. Instead, we've taught them to hate it.
Well, the forward to your book is by Zig Ziglar.
Yeah, yeah. What an honor. That was a big deal for me because I grew up listening to him. You know, my dad and I would travel. I'd go with my dad on business trips, and we'd be driving across the country
business
listening.
What business
was your dad in? He was in sales, and so he was all over the country.
And so was mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you might. Did you have cassette tapes? You know, the ones you had to, when it broke, you had to put the tape on the bottom. Anyway, that was what we listened to Zig on, was cassette tapes.
And you take your pencil and straighten.
Exactly right. See, you have had to deal with that. Yeah. But I grew up listening to him, and so to have him write the foreword on the book was
Well, we listened to him. We sold him.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah, he was
back in the day.
He was one that really taught me God's best blessings are found within his boundaries. You know, he talked a lot about that freedom and liberty is not just to do anything and everything you want. It's to do what's right.
Yes,
and have the freedom to line up with the laws of nature and nature's God, which is why that's mentioned in the Declaration. But Zig was a master at that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into this. now, the Constitution of the United States is unique of all government in the history of the world. And it so impacted me. 15 January 1957, Fort Bliss, Texas. I, Kenneth Copeland, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States, which at that time was Dwight Eisenhower, and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations, uniform, code of military justice, so help me God. And that just gives me cold chills when I read it. When I took that oath at Fort Bliss, Texas in 1957, it changed my life. It struck me with an impact. I love my country anyway, because as a young boy, I went through World War II. And my mother's older brother paid the ultimate price. And my father-in-law in World War II. And he's a sergeant major. Three rockers up and three rockers down with a diamond in the middle. There's a picture of him. 4 years in combat, 1st Infantry Division, under 3rd Army, under Patton, North African campaign, all the way to the Battle of the Bulge. And he came home with PTSD. Mm. Well, that term didn't come out to Vietnam. But anyway, I won't get into that.
But without that, we wouldn't still have a Constitution.
No, that's right.
I mean, that is, you know, Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address that the way to honor those who came before us, especially the ones that paid the ultimate price, like your uncle, is to have an increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That's right out of his Gettysburg Address. And he's basically saying the best way to thank them and to honor those people is to live this out and increase our devotion to it.
Yes.
And when you think about that phrase, to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion,
Yes. That's
what we're talking about today. What is the Constitution? What is the Declaration? Yes. What is the American value system that all of these throughout history, how many millions were willing to serve, 1.3 million that paid the ultimate price, it's for the cause. It's for those principles, those biblical principles of liberty. As you like to say, and I agree wholeheartedly, the greatest nation in the history of mankind.
Oh, it is.
And so if it really is, then it's worth dying for. It's worth fighting for. It's worth all of us living it as well.
Let's stop
so
here
we
for
live
a moment.
That freedom.
Let's stop here
that honors
for
them.
Father, we pray for the IDF.
Yeah.
We pray for the soldiers of Israel and the pilots. Praise God. And we thank you for their deliverance. And we pray for those on the other side and pray to God that they know you. Whew. War is hell on earth. But we thank you that it's being fought correctly and rightly. And we won't go into that any further, except we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I was just thinking about, too, we've got such a great opportunity this year. All throughout this year, we're going to be celebrating all these 250th dates, the 250th birthday of the nation's coming up next year in July. But we've already had the 250th of Patrick Henry speech, you know, give me liberty, give me death, the 250th of Battle of Bunker Hill, the 250th of the Army. I mean,
God, his story to say, my alma mater. Now we're 250
that's
years.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a great time to remind people why you served, why these things were created, what's in the Declaration, what's in the Constitution. So I think people are paying attention more now than at any time in my lifetime. So the fact that we're doing these shows now, I think, is just God's timing, because people have an appetite for really saying, well, what is it that we're fighting for? And what is it that I want to pass to my children and my grandchildren? Because if we forget the principles that produced the greatest nation in the history of the world, we won't make America great again if we don't remember what made her great in the first
place.
That's
right. You have to go back to page one.
That's right. And even just being the fact that you talk about the Constitution, the first lesson today, everybody seems to think we're a democracy, reminding them we're a constitutional
republic.
Right? And so it's amazing how many times you hear people say, that's why when they would say, you're a threat to democracy, I'd always say, yeah, I am.
Yes, we are.
Because the founders said democracy was mobocracy and one of the greatest of evils. We want to make sure we have a Constitution, not just finger to the wind, whatever's popular at the time, the Constitution says this is how we're going to run our country. Mm. Vitally important to come back to that. So that's lesson number one. We're a constitutional republic, yeah. not a democracy. And then if you go back and you actually, like you said, go back to the beginning, well, we're going to celebrate next year on July 4th, 2026, 250 years of the Declaration of Independence. That is the frame that set up the greatest nation in the history of the world. The fact that we're endowed by God, not government, that's the fundamental difference of the Declaration. The fact that God's invoked four times in the Declaration. The fact that laws of nature and nature's God actually means God shows us his laws in nature, but then he also gives us the written word. And James Wilson and other signers of the Constitution and framers of our country said that's exactly what they meant by laws of nature and nature's God. And it's interesting, you know, if you line up with God's laws, if you line up with the laws of nature and nature's God, you see blessings all around for yourself personally, for your family, for the nation. You go against those laws of nature and nature's God, that's when the curses come in. And Deuteronomy, of course, explains that. That's what we're really talking about, but it's true for nations. And we've seen that when we, as a nation, our entertainment, our media, our education, everything lined up with teaching the laws of nature and nature's God, we were blessed. When we started going against that, we started rejecting God, we started saying there is no truth, there's no right and wrong, everybody do whatever you want, we saw the curses come and we saw the culture begin to crumble. And we've had some real cracks in the foundation over the last 40, 50 years. We didn't repair them when we should have, but now we have an opportunity to do that. And
yes,
I believe God has absolutely given us a reprieve and given us the ability to study these things and go back and say, what's that secret sauce? What's that formula that God gave us in his word that the founders were smart enough to read through it every year and discover that formula and put it in place in the Declaration and the Constitution?
Now, Rick, continue on how much of the Constitution actually comes out of the Bible.
Yeah, there's so many principles that, you know, people will say today, well, the Constitution doesn't mention God. Well, it may not have the word God, but it's God all the way through it. I mean, the principles that we find, everything from our due process laws, the idea of being able to confront your, you know, accuser, and Jesus talks about that, and literally in John 8:10 basically says, because your accusers have left, now I don't accuse you either. Even going back to Proverbs and the ability to call witnesses and tell both sides. You think about even the idea of separation of powers, even the idea of doing a court, yeah. a legislature, and an executive. Where'd they get that? Well, Montesquieu was spirit of the laws, and they were reading that. But they told us, actually, it goes all the way back to Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is evil. No man can know it. So you might be a great person, but if I make you king, you've got evil in your heart you don't even know is there.
Well,
it's going to come out.
And that's in your book.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And let me... This is his book. Now, mine.
You got the original somewhere around here.
Yeah,
here it is.
Freedom's Frame. Self-evident truths endowed by our Creator. Consent of the governed in the pursuit of happiness. And he uses a framed picture to illustrate it. And imagine all the pictures that capture what you feel is best about America. Now think of the frame that holds each picture in place. Our founding fathers designed the portrait of America's freedom with beautiful framework. Freedom's Frame. That framework has resulted in the most successful nation in history. If the frame goes, your picture goes with it. Your dreams, your family, your community, your church, and your freedom. And like I was telling Rick, it's been cussed, kicked, tried to break, pushed around without success. Well, they weren't all Christian people. Well, our first president was a praying man. And I have that portrait of him praying in the snow in my study.
That's the one I had behind my desk when I was a legislator at the Capitol in Texas.
Yeah.
Had that same painting of him kneeling right behind my desk.
I love it.
Yeah. You know where I got that idea for the frame was, because we were talking about driving around listening to those cassette tapes, There was a guy named Dr. Kenneth McFarlane, and my dad had some of his cassette tapes, and they were so patriotic, his talks. And he said that in one of his speeches. He said, if the frame goes, your freedom goes with it. And that stuck with me all those years. And then I started thinking about, okay, well, what are the principles of the frame that's holding it in place? And that's how he came up with those four major things out of the Declaration to be preserved. And they're all things that we can all do something about. You know, the whole idea that God's the source of our freedom, just getting a God consciousness back
Praise
into the
God,
culture
yes.
to get people to think about that. I love getting people to do the national motto, In God We Trust, at their school board or their city council or their commission, you know, put it right there behind the commissioners or right there on the dais so that when you go in to testify and give your opinion, you're looking at that going, oh, it's not you folks up here in elected office that I have trust in. It's in God that I have trust. And more importantly, it reminds them that it's in God that we trust. So little things like that. It sounds like a little thing, but it's God consciousness, getting the Ten Commandments back in the schools, back in the courthouse, reminding us of where all of these things and these blessings came from. It's just a
now,
really important part of
on
it.
On this very morning, taped to my shaving mirror are the Ten Commandments. I go through them every day.
Yeah.
And they look harsh when you read them by themselves. But if you go to the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy, they're all tied to the blessing of God.
That's right.
And just to paraphrase, if he remembers our sins, he can't bless us. Now, Jesus took care of that. But he didn't do the rest of it. You have to renew your mind to those commandments.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, it seems harsh at first. And just think about it from a practical perspective. Because some people would say to us right now as we're saying this, oh, you want to put the Ten Commandments up. You're a Christian nationalist or you're a dominionist or whatever. They make up all these terms. And I always stop them and say, wait, don't you want to live in a neighborhood where people think murder is wrong? Wouldn't you like to have neighbors that think stealing is wrong? And schools that are teaching them stealing's wrong? That wouldn't you like to have neighbors that are raising their kids to honor their father? Those are just basic biblical ideas, yes, but basic good society ideas. Treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. I think that's written down somewhere.
Now, I'm going to tell this because it's public knowledge. Should have been public knowledge long time before it was. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, right now, Joe Biden is my neighbor. I don't agree with the politics, but politics doesn't have anything to do with life and death. And they hid the fact that the man has cancer. Well, when they hid it for political reasons, they hid it from praying people like us that would have been in intercession for him. Praise God. To keep this something like that hidden, well, if he dies from that, then they're guilty of murder. Because they kept it hidden from the people, but they kept it hidden from the prayer people, the intercessory prayer folks that should have been praying for him all the time.
And if we knew the Constitution and if the people of the country knew the Constitution, they would have demanded that the 25th Amendment be invoked and that because he was not capable of doing the job, that Vice President Harris would have been the acting president at the time. He would have been able to get the physical care that he needed.
Yes.
You know, and because we don't know the Constitution and we don't know, okay, what's the point at which the 25th gets invoked? And I would dare say even the people surrounding him and in the administration and in most of politics don't know the Constitution. So because, or they know it enough to manipulate it and tell you just enough to be able to keep the power that they want to keep. So there's different reasons for it. But that's a perfect example.
But it's wrong.
It's wrong. And then you mentioned Eisenhower being the president when you took the oath, that he actually had with Nixon kind of a verbal deal for how it was before the 25th Amendment had been ratified. And they were the ones to kind of create this idea that if something happens to me, and I can't remember, he had a stroke or a heart attack or something.
Yeah, he'd already had a heart attack.
Yeah.
While he was in the military.
And so they were trying to basically figure out, okay, if I'm incapacitated and I can't do the job, you take over the duties. And so they had sort of a verbal deal of how this was going to work. And then same thing happened. Kennedy and Johnson had the same deal. And then when Johnson was president, that's when the 25th was finally adopted. But I give you all that background just to say it's actually a really good amendment to deal with these situations. And I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative.
That doesn't enter in.
It ought to be what's good for the country.
This is life and death and for the country and for people.
Yeah. Think about that line in America the Beautiful. More than self, country loved.
Yes.
That concept right there, lay down your life for your friend, for your country. You know, that's a biblical value of sacrifice, that if we get that
when
back
I took
in,
that oath.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, in this country, a war could have started the next day. But it struck me with such a force of what this nation is all about.
Yeah.
We fight to keep its laws in place.
That's it.
Not for self-preservation, not for political preservation, but to keep its laws in place.
And just going back to, I don't know why I got America the Beautiful on the mind, but there's also that line in there about liberty in law,
yeah.
Right? So we were just talking about it. The boundaries are what make the blessings work.
Yeah.
You have to have the law for liberty to actually survive. To get people to do what you did, to be willing to sign up and say, I'm putting my life on the line, there has to be a healthy respect of the law. You got to know that what you're putting your life on the line for is good and that it's going to last. And so that renewal of not just knowing the Constitution, but respecting the law and understanding that, hey, we need to have institutions we can have trust and faith in again. That's what we've got to bring that back. And that doesn't happen without the Word of God. If you don't have a biblical perspective, it is very, very difficult to get a free people to self-govern. You got to bring the Bible back into it. And that's why getting the Ten Commandments, getting in God we trust, getting God consciousness, getting people to understand the foundations, your first question about the Constitution, all those biblical foundations for separation of powers and all the things that we do, that appetite to learn those things, I believe, can solve the real problem, which is the petri dish for bad government, where bad government and the virus of bad government grows. It's civic and biblical ignorance. If we don't know truth, we fall for the lie. So right now, we're talking about the truth to get all of us to understand that we need to solve the civic and biblical ignorance problem by becoming civically and biblically literate.
Jesus called it all things that pertain to life and godliness. When they asked him a political question and thought they had him trapped. Do you owe your allegiance to God or Caesar? He said, hand me a coin. Whose inscription is on the coin? Caesar. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God.
Amen.
Now, he nailed that political question, and they had not considered that, particularly the fact they were trying to trap him some way, but, they didn't know it's impossible for him to do. Anyway, go ahead, Rick.
Well, he gave us, with that answer, he gave us the concept of jurisdiction and the fact that he designed us to operate in a society and a family and a church and all those things where you have certain jurisdictions. The church has certain jurisdiction. The state has certain jurisdiction, the individual. So even that concept of jurisdictions is how a constitutional republic works. And the more we understand the proper role of government, proper role of family, proper role of church, the better off we'll be as a society.
Oh, we're out of time. But we'll get into some more things tomorrow. Praise God. Isn't this good?
That's so good.
Praise the Lord. We'll be back in just a minute.
What has made the United States of America truly exceptional? It's not the American dream, but the framework the Founding Fathers built that protects and makes that dream possible. In his book, Freedom's Frame, Rick Green, former Texas state representative and constitutional expert, reveals the biblical foundations of liberty and freedom that brought God's success to the United States and why preserving them is more urgent than ever. Because if the frame breaks, the picture falls. Learn how faith in God not only inspired the birth of our republic, but is the key to preserving our freedom. This isn't just a history lesson. It's a call to action, a guide to understanding the truth behind the blessings Americans enjoy every day. Learn how you can take a stand to defend those blessings so the gift of freedom will be passed to the next generation. Now more than ever, we can have hope for a rebirth of freedom in America. Freedom's Frame by Rick Green is available at a special price of only $14.99. Order yours today on kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Our founding fathers designed the portrait of America's freedom within a beautiful framework, Freedom's Frame. Those biblical principles of freedom from God resulted in our nation's success and prosperity. This offer's good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Let me remind you something now. Praying for our leaders is a command. It is not a suggestion, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings or presidents, and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved anyway. We have a call to pray for the nation, for the leaders, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Freedom is a Frame by Rick Green. This book is an excellent tool to equip you to learn about our nation's foundational principles that support the freedoms we have in America. You want to get it. KCM.org. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and Rick Green and all of the class reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Praise God.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on KCM.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.